Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as I mentioned, we are in the third week of our Advent series, His Name Shall Be Called. First week, we talked about Jesus being our wonderful counselor. Last week was on He was our mighty God. And then this week, this one throws me off a little bit. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm really trying to get my head around this sermon for this week, because this says Jesus is our everlasting Father. But we have been taught in that God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you're not supposed to confuse them. Every June, we confess the Athanasian Creed. Everyone has it memorized, I am sure, because it is so short. But in it, we confess that the Father is the Father, the Son is the Son, and the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. Yet there are not three gods, but one God. And yet here today, Isaiah is saying that a child will be born. For us, a son will be given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Hey, I got that. Mighty God. Got that one in the end one, Prince of Peace. But now this says, Everlasting Father. So, what are we to make of this? Well, give me an attribute of what a father does. Can someone tell me what a father does for his children? He feeds them. Jesus fed the 5,000. He teaches. Jesus taught many people. How about loves? He loves them. And he will do anything for them. A good father will do anything for his child, including in times of danger, getting in the way of the danger. He might even, if the child has done something wrong, he might wish that he could take the child's punishment instead. How many of your fathers ever said to you, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you? So it hurt him when he punished us. But then again, it hurts God when he has to punish us also, because he wants to love us. It's what's called his alien nature, his wrath, his alien nature. It's not the nature that he wants to have. His nature is to love us. Now, I'm going to ask you, who was the first president of the United States of America? Now, I'm not saying the Continental Congress or any of that. The United States of America, 1789, he was elected. George Washington. Can you give me a nickname of George Washington? The father of his country. George Washington. Now, he wasn't any of ours actual biological father, was he? But we looked at him as the father of our country because he was there at his founding and he ruled, he governed, and he did it prayerfully as well as he could in a godly manner, in a goodly manner. So we call him the father of our country even though he actually wasn't our father. And so we look at Jesus. Jesus was given all rule and authority to govern, to rule. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And then it goes, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth evermore. So Jesus is our loving Father in this sense. He is ahead of us. He's ahead of the church. He's ahead of the earth, the world. All authority has been given to him, and no one has authority unless it's given to him by God. So when we look at it here, Jesus is our Father in that sense. our father in the sense that, you know, I was talking about a father might want to take the punishment that you deserve. Jesus did that. When he took all our sins upon himself, we deserve to suffer and die and be punished for our sins. But Jesus took it upon himself as a loving father would want to do for his child. And loving us, he died, suffered and died so that we might live. And then he rose again. And now all authority has been given to him. And then, so that is why we can look at him as our everlasting Father. Not saying that he is still God the Son, but he says to Philip, the Father is in me and I'm in the Father. So the Father dwells in me. So that's how we could use this term from Isaiah, why Isaiah could say this. Now, the other part of the name, the title, is everlasting. This means that Jesus is everlasting. Nothing was created that he did not create. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and Jesus was part of that. As we learn in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Nothing was created without him. And then we hear that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So that is Jesus, the Word becoming flesh. So he was there in the beginning, and actually before the beginning, because the beginning had to have a start, where God doesn't have a start. And he will be there until the end and actually till past the end. As he promised, he is with us always, even to the end of ages. He is eternal. He has always been, he is, and he always will be. He's everlasting. And we could take joy and comfort knowing that he is with us always. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is with us now and forever. So we look forward to that as we are gathering, getting ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus, his first coming. When he came, the Word became flesh, was born in the manger. And we look forward to also when he will return, as he has promised, to take all believers to spend eternity with him. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. This is a promise from Jesus. This is a promise from God, and God never breaks his promises. Jesus has promised that he's with us always, and he has promised that he will return to take all believers to spend eternity with him. And we look forward to that day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is the Lord, our God, who suffered and died for us. In the name of Jesus, amen.